Good morning.
Good morning.
We were just, as we were worshiping, we were singing about his love that surrounds us. And I was just reflecting on how he can manifest his love through people. And I tell you, we have felt that love during this time that we have had with each of you. We have felt his love through each of you. So thank you for that. As well, I just want to bring greetings on behalf of Anchor City Church. Yeah. They love you. They love your body. And it was a blessing to be here today as you commissioned a team to go to Sri Lanka, because we have been the recipients of teams that your church has sent. And so I just say thank you for your obedience and faithfulness in sending people, because we have received those teams from your church and they've been an abundant blessing. Last night, Janine gave me some seeds to take home and put in my garden. And I just thought of the prophetic picture of all that as a church you have sown into our church and into our body. So thank you, Mark and Bridget, and thank you, The Bridge.
Yeah, I echo those words as well. Just incredible journey with your church, and so what a joy, what a blessing. I was actually here at the Equip last year in Pickering, and I just felt the Lord say that with our togetherness and our partnerships, NCMI has planted and poured into this region and the east coast of Canada for many years. And I just felt the Lord say while I was at that Equip time that that he's going to choose a people and a team to impact this region in a new way, in a fresh way. And all those things that have been poured into this region are going to come to fruition. And I just been here this morning worshiping, and here we are, like not even a year later. And Kate and I have had the privilege of coming on to team. Kirk and Jan have had the privilege of coming on team in Ottawa. You have Mark and Bridget here. And so God is building something here for the East Coast of Canada, and there's something fresh and new happening. And I just was thinking about it as well, thinking that two couples that Mark and Bridget have poured into in the last number of years are myself and Kate and Kirk and Jan. And here, those two couples are coming onto team along with this amazing couple. So look at the inheritance that we are walking in because of you, because you're releasing these two into this nation. You're releasing them into the nations, but also into this nation as well. So thank you for that. And it's good to be here. I feel like I'm home. This is our home away from home. We come and we just let our hair down and we relax. And I don't have a lot right now, but it's all relaxed and we're laid back. And just really amazing to be here. And I've actually been listening to this amazing series called A Skewed View, and what a brilliant series it's been so far. And I thought, hey, why not just jump into that as well? And so I'm going to do that this morning, and I'm going to look at the reality of righteousness. And in Anchor City Church right now, we are going through the book of Romans, and Romans really is just a core theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're just going through it. We were going verse by verse. We kind of gave up on that, and we gave our people some freedom and said we're just going to go passage by passage. And so we're just have been speaking about righteousness this past little while. And there's a reality that if you have a misunderstanding of your source of righteousness, then your walk with Jesus is not an easy walk. And you're not going to have the freedom, you're not going to have the inheritance that Jesus actually died for you. And so that's what Romans really unpacks and goes into. And so we just want to take a look this morning about that. And just before we do, just want to ask you the question, as you sit here, how righteous are you this morning? How righteous are you this morning? And just think about it. And what's the first thing that came to your mind as you heard that question? And so we're just going to, I'm going to pick that up at the end. And we're just going to go through some scripture here. So we start in actually Romans 3:21. Oh, I've got this. Let's see. it's on.
Oh, there, look.
I'm sorry, I'm messing it all up. Me and this are not friends right now. In the back, they're going to sort me out. But if you look at Romans 3:21, it says, "But now a God kind of righteousness has been revealed apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." And the background of this is that the Christians in Rome had Jewish heritage, and they were trusting in their outward behavior for their righteousness. And we understand that that was the law. And the law was simply something that was put in place for 1,300 years because God's people were coming off the rails. And so God put the law in place as a behavior guide to kind of keep them going in the right direction until Jesus came. And so we've got this law that they were given. And they were trusting in this law to be righteous with Jesus. They were trusting in their outward behavior to be righteous with Jesus, to have right standing with Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that the law is helpful because the law tells us that there's a perfect standard and that we haven't actually measured up to that. So if you're here this morning and if you have ever felt that you've failed in your walk with Jesus, then the law has done its work. But really, that's all the law is supposed to do. The amazing thing is that we can be followers of Jesus Christ and we can come into the kingdom and we can still live under the law. We can come in, we have this amazing salvation experience, but yet we're still deciding our relationship and our intimacy with Jesus based on what we did last night. And that's the law. And so actually the Holy Spirit comes in through Paul and starts to bring correction, starts to bring and help us understand that our righteousness is not actually founded on our outward behavior, but our righteousness is actually founded upon our faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." And in this one verse, verse 22, we see this reality of faith coming up two times. And so we know instantly that there's a deep connection between our faith and in our righteousness. And it comes in at the end, it says, on all who believe. And so our righteousness is on all who believe or all who have faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see right away that the foundation of our righteousness, the foundation of our right standing with God, is simply and purely faith. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who had no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And so if you think about your righteousness this morning, it comes by faith, and you can say, well, how righteous am I? I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ is. I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ is. I mean, isn't that incredible? And guess how righteous Jesus is? He's perfectly righteous. Guess how righteous you are in him? You're perfectly righteous. And so sometimes we can live under this real weight that we're not really receiving and we're not really living up to the righteousness that we desire to live as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. But yet we come into this shift into this verse right now in Romans 3, 21-22, then starts to talk about something different. He says, actually, it's not about the law. It's not about your outward behavior. It's about faith. So if you want to think about how righteous you are, you need to start to think about your faith in Jesus Christ. Have you placed your faith in Jesus or have you not? Because that is the answer to how righteous you are. And so we don't need to worry, we don't need to measure what happened 10 years ago, what happened last night, what's happening today. We just need to look at, when did I give my life to Jesus? Because that's the one determining answer for me, as if I'm righteous or not. That's it, the whole thing is settled and it's sorted out. And so we've got this wonderful foundation starting to happen for us in this Romans passage. And it just continues. Verse 22, we come back there. It says, "Even the righteousness of God that is by the faith of Jesus Christ." And it's a very interesting reality to look at this verse. It actually talks about the faith of Jesus. We just talked about faith in Jesus.
We know that we put our faith in Jesus for salvation, but this passage comes and now starts to talk about the faith of Jesus Christ. And there's three translations, the King James, NET, and the YLT translate this directly, faith of Christ, which is actually the correct translation of this. And so what is this speaking about? It's something that's sort of different. What's this is speaking about? It's the faith that Jesus Christ has in what he has done to make you righteous. It's the faith that Jesus Christ has in what he has done to make you righteous. We understand Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he is perfectly secure this morning that all that he did for you is sufficient for your perfect righteousness, so that you are as righteous as Jesus is right now, as he's on his throne right now. And so we can sometimes, in a moment of weakness, think, well, I'm not sure if I've got the faith for this. I'm not sure if I can, like, I've heard this message, and I know that there's righteousness available for me. And the good news is this, if you just come with your faith, that initial point of faith, saying, Lord, I'm putting my trust and my faith in you, then Jesus comes in and saves the day. And he measures and he brings in his ocean of faith, and he pours it over you and says, my son, my daughter, you've come to me, you put your belief in me, and I've given you all this, and now I'm even going to give you my faith to carry you on the way, because our life can go like this. Jesus' faith never does. Jesus has never doubted what he's done for you. Jesus has never doubted how righteous you are. Jesus is not looking at what you did last night. Jesus is looking at what he did 2,000 years ago. And he's looking at that, and he's really excited because he is completely at peace and at rest that it's all sorted out. So if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, whenever that happened, then you became as righteous as Jesus, and it's all been sorted and it's all been settled. And so you can just actually get to borrow this ocean loads of faith that Jesus has for what he's done for you to bring you into complete freedom. We come in, and this verse continues and now starts to speak about the opposite of righteousness. Through Christ, it's self-righteousness. Yeah. And you know what? Our flesh loves that, because we want to measure up. Like, I want to measure up. I want to make this happen. I want to be this perfect person that doesn't, you know, need anything. I can do it on my own. And that's self-righteousness. And we can walk in that. But here we have these scriptures speak differently. It says in Romans 3:22b, the very end, and then 23, it says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so here we have it. It says there's no distinction. So you could have lived in your mind a perfect, pious life under the law of outward behavior, or you could have lived as a complete and the most horrible sinner in all of the world, and the Bible would say to you there's no distinction before the eyes of God. It says we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short, because what we do is we compare ourselves to the person beside us, maybe, or someone else. But then the Bible comes in and says, we've all fallen short. And the Bible comes in and says, there's only one measure of righteousness, and that's the righteousness of Jesus. So if you want to compare yourself to how righteous you are, if you want to pat yourself on the back, you can look at Jesus and compare yourself to that. And let me tell you, that's not happy. That's not happy. You're not going to do well. I'm not going to do well. And that's what the Bible says. It says that you're just not going to make it. You know, you can try as hard as you want to, but just keep measuring yourself back to Jesus. Try as hard as you want to, keep measuring yourself back to Jesus, and just see how you make out. And then you come to the point, and the law helps us with is understand, that we're just not going to make it on our own, that we actually can't do this. So we are actually not righteous. And so what does that do? I celebrate that, because then I say, well, I've got no chance. I must need a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Right? Sometimes we can get to that point and say, well, I'm not making it, and leave it, but we don't complete it. We don't say, well, no, I'm not making it, but wait, there's more, but wait, there's a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. That drives me to my knees, that brings me, but that is a place of incredible humility, and I've got to set aside my self-righteousness and my own desires to look perfect before you, before God, and before others, and I got to lay all that down, can you imagine, and just take his righteousness, because I've got no other option.
verse 24 of Romans 3. It says, we have been justified, which means declared righteous, by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here we are, we've been justified, which means the Father, God the Father, in heaven, declared you righteous the day that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He declared it. The declaration was shouted across the heavens and the earth. My son, my daughter is now righteous. My son, my daughter is now righteous. When you received Jesus, the declaration went out. Look at my son, look at my daughter. They are now as righteous as Jesus. Look at my son. Like the delight, the excitement, all that he put in place, all the salvation plan that he put in place just became real for you on that day. What he had in mind for billions of years just came into your life that day, and you became part of God's family, part of the kingdom of light on that day. I mean, can you imagine? And we'll tell you, once the declaration goes out, it never comes back. The declaration has been made. And so here's the amazing thing. You might have had people declare you other things. You might have declared some things on yourself about how righteous or how unrighteous you are. People might be reminding you. People might actually be reminding you of things you've done in the past. You might be reminding yourself what you've done. The enemy might be reminding you, look what you've done. How bad can it get? And in the midst of all those declarations, there's only one declaration that matters, because it's God the Father, because he's the one who determines your eternity in his kingdom. Right? So there's one declaration that goes out, and it silences all others. Silenced. Done. No more voices on heaven and earth or under the earth needed, because he's declared it, and you're righteous. He's declared it, and you're righteous, just by faith, by nothing you could have done. Could you imagine? And then we get to stand before the Father, who's declared us righteous, and he's like excited. He's like, they received the gift of my son. What an amazing thing, hey? Sheesh. And it says that we have received justification, being declared righteous by his grace as a gift. And have you ever been in that place where someone just like blows your socks off and just gives you that like an amazing gift, right? And it's just humbling to receive that. It's like, I don't deserve that. I can't really receive that. Like, I don't, that's just too much. That's more than I deserve. That's more than I could have asked or imagined. I mean, and so we get that feeling, that sense. And what does it take? It takes this really real sense of humility just to say, I accept. I mean, the other side of it is we can say, no, I don't want it. Thanks for the offer. I mean, the person giving the gift is so unhelpful, right? They're just, how painful that would be. But but here, the Bible talks about this righteousness is given to you as a gift. And you, so often we can say, no, I don't really want that. I can do this, pull up my bootstraps, and I can make myself righteous, you know? But the whole time, the Father just says, no, my son, my daughter, it's a gift. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to receive it? Will you stop trying? Will you just stop trying? Will you stop remembering? Will you just receive it? Right? It's just, will you just receive it? Look, I mean, we just had communion. That's a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. It's a remembrance of our freedom. That's what has been purchased. We'll get into that in just a moment. Verse 24 then says, it says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means to ransom someone for a price, as in the act of purchasing a slave from another owner for a price. And in this case, you and I were born under the dominion of darkness. We were born under the dominion of Satan, and Satan was our master, and we were headed for an eternity outside of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, Jesus came, and he died on a cross. And what did that do? That paid our ransom price. He has paid a price, and his price
is the blood of Jesus Christ on a cross. That's the price. And so we're in darkness. Here we are. We have no hope. We have no life. We have no light. We have no salvation. We have no eternity with Jesus Christ. And then this price is paid for us 2,000 years ago. And then we receive that by faith, and we are transferred into the kingdom of light. And we are here, and the price has been paid, the transaction is complete, and we're never going back there. And Jesus, on his cross, he says, he shouts out the word, "It is finished." And those words, "It is finished," was a cultural word that meant paid in full. It's paid in full. So 2,000 years ago, everything that you and I did, are doing, and will do, was paid in full. It was sorted out. It was determined. It was made. So everything you've ever done has been sorted out 2,000 years ago. Jesus looked ahead, and he said, "My son and my daughter is going to do this. It's going to take me away from him, paid in full." Everything you will ever do is already paid. It doesn't give you a license of sin. It gives you a license to fall on your knees and cry out to Jesus and say, "Thank you." Paid, done, complete. The price is sufficient. And so, but sometimes we can say, "Okay, Jesus, I want that price. That was good, but for me it comes up a little NSF. It's just not quite enough." Yeah. Right? NSF. So, "Jesus, I thank you. Props, good try. I'm sorry. You also need my righteousness. Lord Jesus, like, props, well done, but you need my religion. Lord, props, good, well done, you need my this, you need my that, you need my good behavior, you need my something else, because I can't believe that has already been sorted out. Let me tell you, this price actually was sufficient for you. The blood of God dripping down on a cross 2,000 years ago was enough for you and me." And we're talking like the worst stuff, not the easy stuff, we're talking the whole thing. Because it's like, that's such a price. Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're right, it's the blood of God on the cross. Like, is that okay? Are we okay with that? Are you okay with that he set you free by his blood? Are you okay that you're righteous by his blood? Are you okay with that? Can we sort that out? Can we say, "Actually, Jesus, I've been kind of battling on you, but I'm just going to settle it. Done, complete, sorted out." We move into verses 25 and 26. And that's the last two verses we'll look at. It says, "Whom God set before all as a propitiation by his blood through faith," pistis, which is faith in the Greek. "This was to show God's righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over sins that were previously committed to show his righteousness at the present time, that he may be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ." And so we've got a few things that we'd like to unpack here as well. Verse 25 speaks about our righteousness, and it brings it back to the blood of Jesus Christ, because it uses this word called propitiation. And there are two results that occurred on the cross by the blood of Christ. There are two results that occurred by the blood of Christ on the cross. There's propitiation, which is here, and there's expiation. And propitiation is what the blood does for God the Father. What the blood does for God the Father is it appeases his wrath. Because God the Father has wrath against sin. He doesn't have wrath against you. You're made in his image. But he does have wrath against sin. Why is that? Because sin has separated you from him. And so he has a mighty wrath against sin. And so if we haven't received and placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that sin is still upon us. And so that wrath is upon us. It's upon me, it's upon you, until we give our life to Jesus Christ by faith. So the blood of God appeased the wrath of God the Father. That's what it did. That's called propitiation. That's what the blood of God did for the Father. listen to this. Listen to what the blood of God does for you. It's called expiation. Three cheers for expiation, giver. You'll cheer in a moment. Just wait. Expiation is what the blood of God does for us. It removes our sin as if our sin never happened. It just peels it off on that day that you gave your life to Jesus, and it never comes back. It just peeled off. It's just gone. Expiation. If any sin has ever been committed against you, it was peeled off by expiation. Any sin that you have committed has been peeled off by expiation. And so you sit here, you stand here right now, and it's as if you never sinned. Well, it's like, well, that's impossible. No, it's not possible. That's what the Word of God says. And how could you possibly come into the kingdom? How could you possibly come into heaven with God who's perfect if that sin hasn't been peeled off of you? You see, we can kind of struggle it out a bit because we can think for a moment. We can say, well, I believe that I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. Well, how are you possibly going to get there unless that sin hasn't been peeled off of you as if it never happened? And that's what the blood of God did for you 2,000 years ago, and you received it by faith on the day that you gave your life to Jesus. And it was a once for all. It's done. It's complete. You're as free as it gets. You're as righteous as it gets. You'll be no more righteous tomorrow than you are today, because how can you be more righteous than Jesus Christ is? You're as good as it gets. Righteous. Righteous. I mean, did you wake up this morning and just, you know, click your heels, three cheers, man, I'm as righteous as it gets today. This is as good as it gets. I'm just unbelievably righteous. I mean, I just can't believe how righteous I am. You can stop people in the supermarket, you can just tell them, do you know how righteous I am? Thank you, Lord. No, 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 look, I want to tell you, I tell you about Jesus. I got faith in him. You look in the mirror and say, I just can't believe how righteous I am today. I just can't believe that. Right in the middle, if you're having an argument with like your wife, you're, you can say, look, do you know how righteous I am? Try that, see how it goes. Run. I mean, I can't believe how righteous you guys are right now. That's pretty exciting, hey? Man, oh man. We're having a little too much fun here now. I'm just warming up, sorry. It's getting better. I had a dream last night. Okay, it's like, please don't. That I was on a roller coaster with Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. What on earth did I eat? I don't know. We'll figure, right? Well, it's like that fun. It's like, man, when you're that righteous, you can do that kind of stuff. That's just how you live, right? Wow. You can pray for me. Pray more for Kate. yeah. All right. So here we go. This passage then speaks about God is just and justifier, and it's our last point I'll make, then we'll go to a conclusion. But it says that he may be, this is verse 26, he may be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so here's God, the Father, he's just and he's justifier. What does this mean? It means that, first of all, God is just, meaning that he applies justice when there has been wrongdoing or sin. And God's justice comes in the form of his wrath against sin. We actually can struggle with the wrath of God, but we actually love justice. And it helps us understand when we've been wrong personally, we tend to want justice. And that's just something of the heart of God. And then, of course, we can live in the grace of God, understand that, but there's a reality that we understand what justice is, because when there's something that's been done that's wrong, we want that to be sorted out. And so does God. And that means that he's just. But the thing about God's justice is that it's perfect justice. He's perfectly just. And so we have a God who is perfectly just. So if you've ever been wronged, it's sorted out on the cross, because he's going to make it all right. So God is just. We also see that God is justifier. See, because he is just, and so he said, okay, it's wrongdoing, and because of wrongdoing, there's punishment. Just. Now he's justifier, because he actually comes and he pays the penalty for that wrongdoing. He's also justifier, so it's full circle. Right? So it's, he doesn't just leave us there. He's the wrath has come out, but then the mercy completes it. And he says, yes, they're guilty. You're guilty of sin. The Bible says, whether you know it or not, or believe it or not, the Bible says you are guilty of sin. And then in the midst of that, God the Father says, I'm going to send my son, and he's going to pay the price for that. And I'm going to be not just be the God the just, I'm going to be God the justifier. Full circle. He's done it all. He's done it all. And so as we come to our conclusion, let's return to our initial question. How righteous are you right now? How righteous are you right now? And if I have a skewed view of righteousness, I'm going to start to think about what did I do this morning and how did I talk and what did I do last night. That is a skewed view of righteousness. What did I do 10 years ago? That's a skewed view. It's an unbiblical view of righteousness. It's an untrue view of righteousness. Isn't it amazing how we can live our whole lives and even maybe as Christians along the way and carry these views that are just not God? I mean, and when you carry something that's not God, guess what it's going to do? It's going to put you in bondage because Jesus brings you to freedom. Jesus says, you'll know the truth and truth will make you free. So if you believe opposite to the truth, guess what you get to endure? You get to endure bondage. If you get to know the truth of Jesus Christ, if you have a true and a proper view, then you come into freedom. Isn't that delightful? It's amazing. That's what we've been praying and praising and declaring this morning, the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. So here we have, if we have this skewed view, I'm going to start to think about what I've done. But if I have a biblical view, I'm going to start to think about how righteous Jesus is and when did I put my faith in him. And then I get to start to get really excited because I look and see how righteous Jesus is, and that's me. And I can say, well, I don't always live in that level of righteousness or that level of perfection before Jesus Christ. Well, that's just living outside of your identity and your inheritance in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're not. It just means that you're not living in it. It means that it's been bought for you, been bought at a price. The price is complete. It's fully full. And if you get up and you can either walk in that or not walk in that. But the only difference is that you're not living your identity. So if you're walking unrighteously, it doesn't mean you're not righteous. It just means that you're not walking in the identity of what Jesus Christ has done for you. But you're still righteous. And a little hint, if you want to become walking in more righteousness in your behavior every day, don't keep looking at your behavior every day. Start looking at Jesus Christ every day. Because you know what? Like, what you look to is where you're going to get. And I say, well, man, I know that I'm righteous. I've been bought at a price. It's been paid in full. But man, I'm just still struggling here. Well, keep your eyes on Jesus. Then you're going to walk towards that. Isn't it amazing how we keep staring at our sin and wondering why we keep sinning? Well, that's what we're focused on. Of course we're going to do that. Lift our eyes, church. Christians, lift our eyes. Lift your eyes to Jesus. You want to be righteous? Look at righteousness. And his name is Jesus. God is so good, hey? And just in closing, if you've been trusting in your own righteousness in your walk with Jesus, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you today. Have you been walking, looking in the mirror at your own righteousness and your own failures as a follower of Jesus? Just raise your hand. You're saying, today this is it, folks. I'm not going to trust my own righteousness any longer. I'm going to trust the righteousness of Jesus. So raise your hand. I'm just going to break something. Break a mindset. Break lies. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you so much that you died on a cross. Pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would break off self-righteousness, Lord, off of our hearts, God. We so want to do it on our own, God, but we just lay that down today. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us a fresh revelation by your Holy Spirit, Lord, of our righteousness by faith alone. I pray that you'd infuse us, Lord, with truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray that we would walk in freedom, Lord. We would walk in freedom. We would walk in righteousness, Lord, today, in Jesus' name. Lord, that we would walk celebrating, God, our righteousness, that it comes from you and not ourselves. That we can start afresh today, Lord. If we've gotten into the heaviness of trying to do it on our own, and the heaviness of trying to earn it, and the heaviness of following our behavior, Lord, we just tear that down in Jesus' name, Lord. And just bring freedom and life in the authority of Christ. Bring freedom back to our walk in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bring us back. Bring our eyes back to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bring our eyes back to your righteousness, Jesus Christ, once again. That we would celebrate once again, Lord, that we've been set free. By you, by your blood, Lord, you've done it all. You've paid the price. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. Isn't that liberating? Okay, let's try that again. Isn't that liberating? You got to be convinced of this stuff. Yeah, you know, just while Dan was preaching, I thought sometimes the parents, you raise your children, and we're all children, we've all had parents that are along the line somewhere, and we train them and we give them an identity, and then they do something wrong. What do we say? I never raised you to be like that. Does that make them not your son or your daughter? No, they're still our children. And I think that's when we look at our behavior, and we are made in his image. He says, I've given you a new identity. I didn't raise you to be like that. But we're still his son and his daughter, and he's still our heavenly father. I think sometimes we forget that because we become sin conscious instead of righteous conscious. Very good, Dan. Thank you so much. It's a blessing. Thank you. So welcome again. And if you are visiting with us today, we have Feast of Nations right now. And we're going to enjoy some good food, and we're going to pray for South America. And I've been in contact with some of the pastors in South America, and so we're going to pray for them, and we're going to look to them, and we're going to look at them because we're a PowerPoint. But let's just go out and find a table and a place to sit, and we're going to have some lunch. Thank you so much. Bless you.